Good morning, Pyle. Happy Friday, the doorstep of the weekend. It's here. Divisional round. It's not grande wildcard weekend, but it's NFL divisional playoff weekend. Number one seeds get on the field after a bye in the first round. Some intriguing matchups this weekend. Cincinnati at Tennessee.
That could be a good one. That could be a sneaky good one.
Tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Oh, you thought because I didn't play Apache, I'd forgot. Oh, no. It is Apache Friday. It's going to be a great, great matchup with the Bengals. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Can the Titans slow down that dynamic duo?
How healthy is Derrick Henry?
He says he feels good. Has that plate in his foot? It's been out for 2 months. He's rested. He's, ready. I don't know about that, but not a lot of time on the practice field. But then I think if there's a guy that is ready to go with limited practice time, it's probably Derrick Henry. Him. And then you go back to the old days of some battles in the playoffs of Niners and the Packers. They renew that rivalry in the postseason.
Would you care to guess what Aaron Rodgers' playoff record is against the 49ers?
I'm going to say it's not good. I'll say it's not good.
It's 0-3.
Yeah. Because I saw that number somewhere, but I couldn't remember the exact number of times he has faced them. And his numbers coming off a bye week aren't typically very good either.
Which is hilarious because it's a bye week.
Right.
What are you doing?
He's a guy that gets a lather up, gets a rhythm going. Got to play every week. You would think with the toe, that would make the toe feel better, right?
You'd think.
It would help. And so you think it would be a positive, but history kind of says otherwise, right? And then we'll preview the Sunday games coming up at 8 o'clock. LA Rams at Bucks, the rematch from the regular season.
Yes.
Which the Rams won by 10. Bills Chiefs. Bills won that one against the Chiefs during the regular season, but lost in the AFC Championship game last time out.
Yeah, that one's probably going to be, I think, your marquee matchup, not just because it's, the last one of the weekend, but you're talking about a potential, chip on their shoulder, Josh Allen v. Patrick Mahomes shootout, almost.
This is what the Bills were built for.
Yeah.
Was this team to get back to the AFC Championship game, knock that wall down, and get to the Super Bowl for the first time since Jim Kelly was their quarterback.
It's a long time ago.
So, predictions on the divisional weekend. And here's one I'm going to throw out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Of the quarterbacks that are left.
Mm-hmm.
From Mahomes to Garoppolo to Rodgers to Brady, Allen Mahomes. If you're a GM, you get to pick one of these guys.
To just pluck?
Who's your guy? Who's your quarterback?
Oh, this one's easy. Easy for me, at least.
Okay. See, I don't think it's easy, but who would it be for you?
Patty Mahomes.
Can't say it's a terrible, as I don't think there's, Garoppolo would probably be the terrible answer.
Probably.
Compared to the rest of these guys.
Probably.
Even though he has taken the Niners to the Super Bowl previously where they lost to the Chiefs. And so he's got them, on the cusp of an NFC title game appearance.
Right.
But we could agree, if you're right in the field, he would be the last guy you'd take.
Garoppolo would be dead last, and there'd probably be a 10-foot gap between second to last and last, where he is at.
Who would be next to last? Tannehill?
Probably. But see, Tannehill's in a very unique position because people are really underestimating, I think at least, this Titans team because Tannehill's their quarterback and they have a maybe. I mean, I don't know how healthy Derrick Henry really is. He hasn't played since week 8.
Yeah.
We're now, 10, 11 weeks.
It's been about 2 months since he's played.
Yeah, so it's been a while since he's played. And again, as we were talking about earlier, if there's anybody that can overcome the injury and can get into the game and do well, it would be someone like him simply because he is a monster human being with unparalleled size and strength. But again, how much of that's going to be impacted by him not playing for 2 months? We will see. But in the meantime, you have the Tennessee Titans who have beaten the Bills, who have beaten the Chiefs, who have earned the number one seed, and pulling in this morning, listening to DA, he was talking about how the Titans as a franchise aren't doing themselves any favor because, you know, they're not sure about their relationship with their past, with the Oilers. They've got too many colors going on in their thing. Their branding is all off. The stadium's not great. All this stuff where now you have a Bengals team coming in that's potentially going to bring with them this sea of Houday fans.
Yeah.
And no one seems to be threatened by the fact that Tennessee's the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, they are kind of perceived as they're the number one seed, but oh, you could talk about the Bills, talk about the Chiefs. All of a sudden, the new kid on the block, Cincinnati's got a lot of people's attention because of Burrow and Chase.
Yeah,
and you think about Tennessee and Derrick Henry's a battering ram. Tannehill able to take advantage when they go play action, and they were able to get the job done with Foreman at the running back spot, where they actually ran the ball more.
Yeah.
Than they normally do with Derrick Henry.
How about that
in the mix? Their defense is good. I think Mike Vrabel's a hell of a coach, but it's almost like Tennessee is they're in the playoffs, but yeah, they're the number one seed, but are they really the best team in the AFC? Aren't the Bills and the Chiefs better football teams? Maybe Cincinnati's a better football team. They are somewhat the Rodney Dangerfield of the playoffs to a degree,
right.
And the Niners are kind of the NFC version of that, where they don't dazzle you with their quarterback play.
No.
They just go out and win football games. But I think as far as the quarterbacks go, it's tough because if you're doing this as a GM, there's two ways to approach this.
Right.
As a GM, which means you're also looking to the future, where Mahomes makes sense. Obviously, Joe Burrow makes a lot of sense. Josh Allen makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you're building for the future, those are your guys where Brady's Brady, if you're thinking future like 5 years from now,
right,
of course, well, that cat, he might be playing when he's 49, 50 years old,
who knows,
but you don't want to pin your hopes on that.
No,
same with Rodgers approaching 40, that you kind of go okay, but if you're trying to win and get to the Super Bowl, maybe it's looking at it that way. Guy that you have the most trust in to get you to SoFi, to get you to the Super Bowl. Who'd you pick of this group?
I think I'd still go Mahomes.
Which, once again, I am not going to say that's a terrible decision because he's been to two Super Bowls. So.
And I know it's rich coming from a Broncos fan to say Patrick Mahomes, but like that's kind of it. He's in division. I've seen what the man can do on a semi-regular basis, and it dazzles and it impresses. Not that none of the other quarterbacks, also don't impress.
Right.
I think Joe Burrow, and I've been thinking about this since that wild card game against Las Vegas. Do not be surprised if Joe Burrow next season is in the MVP conversation.
Certainly looks like he's that kind of player, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he's building towards, and I loved what he said the other day about how getting to the playoffs is now going to become the standard.
And I said that yesterday too, and on that same comment, Cake, that you love that kind of moxie, that kind of confidence. That's what a long suffering Bengals franchise needs. They need somebody to believe.
Yeah.
They need a guy that's got a tude.
Yeah.
Burrow's that guy. He's got that much confidence in himself. He's got that much confidence in the guys around him.
Yeah.
And in Zach Taylor, the head coach, who got, that was funny, got carded after the game the other day. He's got so much confidence in himself and the people around him that that's what that franchise has needed for a very long time.
They didn't even get that with Carson Palmer.
No, they were good when Carson Palmer was there.
They were, but you didn't really feel that sort of like, I don't know. It's hard to describe because I got the impression that Palmer, and I don't know if it was just because of how he presented himself to the media or whatever, but you got the impression that Palmer didn't really want to be there. Sometimes.
Yeah, and eventually he didn't want to be there. He held out and they forced to trade him. So eventually he didn't want to be there. Carson Palmer just had this. He was SC guy, California cool.
Yeah.
A little bit like he was too cool to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to crack on Carson Palmer, but he had weapons around him like Ocho Cinco. I mean, he had good talent around him when he was there.
DJ Hushmanzada.
Hushmanzada.
Who's your mama?
Who's your mama? I mean, they were good players, and they went to the playoffs when he was there. It was not like the entire time he was in Cincinnati, he was a failure. But Burrow's an Ohio kid, and it makes a lot of sense when you have a guy that's from that state.
Yeah.
It's a Midwest guy that he's embraced it, even though he made the comment about there's nothing to do in Cincinnati. Well, he was just being honest about it. It's not New York. It's not L.A.
Is he really wrong, though?
No, he's not. He's like, yeah, we stay pretty focused because there's not a whole lot to do here. And he's okay with that. And there is a red assness about him. Pardon my French. That I find very likable. But if you're a quarterback, you got to have a little bit of that. A
little bit.
This just unbelievable confidence in yourself. And it's you that you want to put it to the other team. You know you can go out and do it. You know you're the best player on the football field. And I think, if Denver can get anybody like that, that'd be great. Maybe it's one of these guys in the playoffs this weekend.
And
we'll see.
It's sort of cyclical because there have been, countless guys who have that kind of confidence that absolutely suck.
Got to back it up. You absolutely got to back it up. It means nothing.
And he does. And it, again, it's sort of, like I said, it's cyclical. It sort of fuels itself. He plays really well. He says, I'm going to play really well, and I'm going to beat you. And then he does. It rolls over.
It's a little bit of that Brady thing.
Little bit.
Or just, I'm going to beat you. I'm not going to disrespect you, but I'm going to whoop your backside.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, I'm going to walk up the field winning and you're going to be losing. Simple as that. And there's a lot of that in Joe Burrow. So, anyway, your thoughts on which one would you take right now?
To win now.
Let's just put it this way.
To win now.
Get to the Super Bowl and win it. Which one of these guys would you take? Do you go with a Burrow? Inexperienced, only second playoff game. Guy that's a young guy, but a guy that has been there, done that, and Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, who's got his team to the AFC Championship game last year.
Tom Brady.
Or do you go
Tom Brady?
Been there, done that. Et cetera, et cetera. Aaron Rodgers.
Who we very well could see in a Broncos uniform next year. We don't know.
Could very well be the case. Or we might just be smoking the state's legal substance and talking ourselves into that, too. We shall see.
We will see.
But I want your thoughts on who, right now, who would you take to get you there? To get you to the Super Bowl and win it? Who would it be? I'm going to save mine. We'll do it 8 o'clock hour.
Okay.
I'm not going to blow it all up right now. Save it till then. But are the guys that are quarterbacking this weekend, okay, don't give me, well, Russell Wilson, no.
No.
Derek Carr, no. Derek Carr.
What?
The Derek Carr thing, watch that and how that plays out with the Raiders. With, if they get a new coach, if it's not Bisacci, who everybody seems to there want him to stay, particularly Max Crosby, who, I don't know if you caught the comment that he made about Gruden, the shot at Gruden, that Crosby said we played better down the stretch because Rich Bisacci listened to us, and Gruden, you know, Gruden was like Gruden's grinders and all that crap. He wore thin on the team, that he was constantly on them every single day about every single thing, and it was, we've talked about the legendary John Gruden work ethic of getting up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, be in the office,
right,
be there till 10, 11 o'clock, get back up, do it again, and have that same expectation of everybody. That wore thin on the players in Vegas. And that they would say, look, we've got a lot of guys hurt right now. We've got this. We maybe back off a little bit here. Not in Gruden's world. Going to do it the way John Gruden wanted to do it. Going to do it the way Chucky wanted to do it.
And look.
And it wore thin on the players there.
And here's the thing. Max Crosby has the evidence to back up that he's accurate.
Yeah.
Because they had an interim head coach in Rich Bisaccia take them to the playoffs.
Playoffs.
You know, it makes, to me at least, it makes absolutely total sense that would be the case. That Rich Bisaccia, who's kind of, right, he's in a very unique and awkward position.
He's interim coach right now.
He's interim. He doesn't know if he's coming back next year.
He did interview the other day.
Right.
With the team.
But, like, at the start of his interim ship, he's just there. He has a job to do, and he has to sort of build almost immediate trust with the players and the rest of the coaches. He has to build rather quickly a trust and say, hey, okay, I know I'm just the interim guy here, but I'm still the head coach. Let's figure things out and see where we're at, and then let's go from there. And it worked. And I mean, the thing about him writing all the letters in the hotel room after the game, thanking everybody for, you know, that shows you the kind of guy that he is.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I'm saying nice things about the Raiders. What is wrong with me? But, you know, again,
here's a cup. I need you to.
Thank you. I will.
I need that.
I will submit the test later to.
I need that
HR.
Filled up. And thank you.
But again, it's, you know, Max Crosby's not wrong. He's not.
Yeah. We'll talk more about the Broncos coaching search. They talked with Kevin O'Connell of the Rams yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Callahan, Bengals offensive coordinator. Bill's kid, former Nebraska coach, former NFL coach.
Oh yeah.
We got to be the dumbest team in America.
Well.
So, Brian Callahan, who has ties to the Broncos organization previously. So, today it's Eric Bieniemy, who the Broncos will talk to.
That'll be a fascinating one.
Yeah, I have some insight from Jeff Legwald, who,
ooh,
of course, covered the Broncos, but still does for ESPN, but, of course, did for the Post back in the day.
Right.
That everybody keeps talking about, oh, Dan Quinn's the guy. Dan Quinn's going to be the guy. It's going to be Dan Quinn. And Legwald's not so sure that is the case.
Oh.
So we'll get into that coming up at 8 o'clock hour. We also preview the Sunday divisional playoff action on the Team Sports Network. All right, let's get to...
What's happening?
All right, a Thursday morning crane collapse could have an impact on seating for the baseball games at Blasio Field, including the Alpine Bank JUCO World Series. No one was injured, fortunately. A crane used by Shaw Construction fell into the steel for new bleachers along the left field line. The project was scheduled to be completed by May 9th, but Stadium Improvement Chair Bruce Hill told the Daily Sentinel that he wouldn't go as far as to say people are optimistic, but Shaw still believes they can finish on time. Also, supply chain issues,
right?
Getting steel, getting building materials, really, really tough right now.
Yeah.
And that plays a role in this as well. The JUCO World Series begins May 28th. Of course, we'll have every pitch right here on the Team Sports Network. The Avalanche faced a tough... Can you give me some Avs music?
I can.
Can you do that? Thank you very much. Avs finished a tough California road swing with a 4-1 win at the LA Kings Thursday night. Western Conference leading Colorado wrapped up a grueling 7-day stretch with a 5-0 record after Avs goalie Pavel Francouz made 34 saves a night before against Anaheim. Veteran Darcy Kuemper says, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me show you what I can do.
I thought we did a good job, obviously, of doing what we had to defend. You know, we're used to having the puck for long stretches of the time, and that wasn't really the case tonight, but we found a way to win in a different style, and that's really important.
40 saves for Kuemper last night in the Avalanche win. Miko Rantanen, Kiefer Sherwood. The Sherwood, after a bad turnover by Lemieux by the Kings, Kiefer Sherwood, who the guy doing color on ESPN last night, started to call him Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, jeez.
Which... I've been there before.
It'll happen.
When there's a name like that, you immediately gravitate to the well-known celebrity. But Kiefer Sherwood scores a goal. Nicholas Aby-Kubel scored the Colorado goals for the Avalanche last night as they get the win at the LA Kings. But to 40 saves for Darcy Kuemper last night. Six former Fruita and Fruita Monument High School athletes and coaches will go into the 2022 Wildcats Hall of Fame. Former Fruita High School multi-sport athlete Bart Bortles played for the Wildcats from 1961 to 1964 and then went on to play football at the University of Colorado. John Coles went undefeated to win the 1983 155-pound state wrestling title and helped Fruita Monument take second as a team in the 1983 and then helped them win a state title in the 3A ranks in 1982. Dan Miller's credited with building the strength and conditioning program at Fruita. The late Don Paris was a multi-sport athlete from 1961 to 1965 and was an honorable mention All-America selection in football. Lanny Paulson won the 1979 3A 155-pound state wrestling title before going on to wrestle at Utah and Northern Colorado. Track and field coach Phil Wortman coached the Wildcats from 1978 to 2000, producing 9 state champions. The 6 will be inducted February 4th at halftime of the Fruita Monument boys basketball game against Central. 4-time state wrestling champions Dale Stryker and Michael Smith are among 24 wrestlers who have signed a wrestling singlet to help raise money for the victims of the Marshall Fire near Boulder. The Daily Sentinel says the singlet is being sent around the state and was signed yesterday in Grand Junction by Stryker and Smith. Stryker won 4 state titles for Montrose in the early 1960s, with Smith winning 4 state championships for Nucla in the early 2000s. For information on the auction, you can call 303-898-9759. That's, of course, your home turf.
Yeah, that's my humble abode, and it's cool to see that. And I first of all, I just want to thank everybody. I've had some conversations with people here and people who listen to our stations. Just, first of all, thank you for reaching out. My family's doing okay. They're safe. The house is fine and everything. And it's been really touching to see all of the statewide and community support that's gone into helping people recover from this horrible thing, and you know, lots of money being raised for lost pets and people donating clothes and food and everything. So it's been really good to see that. So.
Folks just showing their compassion and their generosity, and I think that's just so remarkable with how people have responded. Yeah. And I know I'm just so happy your family, number one, is okay.
Me too.
and their house is okay too. And majority of neighbors were fine. People,
yes and no.
In terms of not being injured, they lost property,
right.
But
yeah, I mean, it's still kind of eerie. There's, I mean, just like, you know, a couple houses down, the houses are gone and people have lost, you know, homes and stuff. But again, it's, you know, it's the classic Mr. Rogers quote of look for the helpers.
Right.
And people have done that in droves. And it's been, like I said, it's been really good to see that. So,
well, yeah, we got wonderful people here in the state of Colorado.
Showing a lot of
generosity and compassion. The Delta boys wrestling team defeated Palisade 45-33 last night. The Panthers grabbed an early 9-0 lead thanks to victories from Tim Horn and Royce Berrios. Bulldogs had 4 forfeits but picked up wins from Maddox Castor, Tyrus Despain, Keaton Young, and 3 other Palisade wrestlers. College basketball last night, University of Colorado taking on number 16 USC. Oh, tough one for the Buffs. They lose at 61-58 last night.
Yeah.
Leading the way was Jabari Walker with 13 points, Evan Batty, Tristan Da Silva. Each had 10 apiece for the Buffaloes. Up next, UCLA tomorrow for the University of Colorado. Now, as far as our local Colorado University basketball program, the Colorado Mesa University Mavericks. The Mavericks are on the bus this weekend. They play at Mines tonight, Regis tomorrow. Tonight, the Ore Diggers, who have used the same starting lineup in all 14 games this season for their women's team. In fact, their normal starting rotation has taken the court for tip-off in 55 of the last 63 games for Mines. Mavs women's coach Taylor Wagner says the Ore Diggers regulars have played so many games together they can't help but be good.
I think that's why they play so well, is that, you know, they've got all this senior leadership on the floor that have been together and done a lot of good things, so they're playing at a high level right now.
All right, Taylor Wagner. So Ethan Jordan will have the call tonight and tomorrow for us over on the Front Range. So tonight's games, women start at 5:15 with the pregame. They tip it at 5:30, minutes 7:30. Both Maverick teams against the Colorado School of Mines on the team CMU Sports Network tonight. Maverick basketball brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. Tomorrow, because of NFL playoff football, your Maverick basketball coverage over on 1100 KNZZ 92.7 FM when they take on Regis. Another good matchup for the Maverick basketball teams.
Really good.
Women's pregame at 3:45 tomorrow. They tip it at 4. The men to follow tomorrow over on KNZZ. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with Cake today. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen coming up next hour? Your chance to win Fat Tire today with that. Also coming up a little bit, Tanner Ridgeway, Palisade wrestling coach. And we'll also talk with Jackson Wilson, coach of the Riverhawks, River City Sportplex youth hockey program, and also former Maverick pitcher Joe White, who will go into the Colorado Baseball Dugout Club Hall of Fame tomorrow over in the Front Range, along with former Maverick baseball coach Byron Weehee. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour as well. So of the quarterbacks playing this weekend, you have to pick one to get you to the Super Bowl and win it.
You make the trade of all trades and maybe sacrifice a limb or two.
Who this weekend would you take right now to get to the Super Bowl and win it? Right at this moment, of the quarterbacks that are available this weekend playing in the playoffs. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Happy Friday, 7:30. Jim, along with Tyler Franzen today. Cake, Nipsey Hussle.
We came up with another one.
Oh, really?
This one, courtesy of our former colleague, Katie Mitchell, who was informed by our other colleague, the Buckeye Boy, that I was playing piano at our office Christmas party, and that's when Katie came
Sing
up with...
Sing me a song on the piano man. Did you do that one?
Because
I unfortunately couldn't be there.
I didn't do Piano Man. I did do a sort of version of New York State of Mind and Vienna by Billy Joel. But
New York State of Mind's a great song.
It's a beautiful song. But the name that Katie came up with and has since transgressed, Elton Yawn. Because, you know, I'm tired all the time.
Elton Yawn.
Elton Yawn.
Wow.
So
you're probably thinking, yeah, I'm okay not working with her anymore.
I texted her.
No, we miss Katie. We miss Katie.
We do. And I heard that as I'm, you know, we're setting
Elton
up.
Elton Yawn, huh?
We're setting up. I'm doing a little sound check with our speakers that Max Ryan had set up. And I had my keyboard. I'm just going to, you know, messing around. And Rio comes up to me and says, you know, we got a new one. Katie came up with Elton Yawn. And I was like, really?
Dun, 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 dun. Hey.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you're
sorry.
You're not far off.
Look, you just need that extra rest. That's okay. It's all yeah. right. It's okay.
So, anywho.
How many is it now? Nicknames, what, 10?
Oh, I don't even know. It's probably a dozen, maybe even a baker's dozen.
Elton Yawn's pretty good. I gotta give
Katie
credit.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. It's
pretty damn good.
It's, you know.
All right.
On that note,
we move on to the Avalanche, who they've got to be tired.
From carrying the weight of expectations of all Colorado sports fans.
And just the grueling stretch they've gone through. I mean, they wrapped up a 7-day stretch here with a 5-0 record.
That's good.
And they've had to win some close games. They had the back-to-back, first ever back-to-back road shutouts against Arizona, and then the other night against Anaheim.
Right.
And then last night, and Anaheim and the LA Kings playing really good hockey right now.
They are.
And so it was a challenge to get the win against Anaheim. They get the 2-0 victory. And then last night, they take on the Los Angeles Kings. And Darcy Kemper, 40 saves in the game.
How about that?
After Pavel Francouz made 34 the night before against Anaheim. Got goals last night from Mikko Rantanen, Kiefer Sherwood.
Not Kiefer Sutherland.
On the Sherwood play, for them, Lemieux turns it over. Bad turnover in their zone. And Sherwood just grabs, just fires it on net, pass quick, and bang, just like that. Turnover, goal, in essentially one motion.
Ooh.
And that put the Avalanche, at that point, 2-0. They go on to win it 4-1 last night. And after the game, Jared Bednar talking about winning, because the first two periods, the Avalanche kind of, even though they were up 2-0, kind of got outplayed. And really, the Kings, they worked their butts off on their defensive end and then the Avalanche zoned it to force some turnovers. And all Colorado does is get a turnover, and quickly they're up 2-0 in the second period. But Jared Bednar just talking about winning it in a different style. Because here's the top scoring team in the NHL. Lots of goals from Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen. But they've also had to win some tough, kind of grinded out games on the road as well. Here's Jared Bednar on the win last night.
Find a way. Yeah. I mean, for me, yeah. Like that, we were not good through two periods. Even just the simplest of tasks, plays, breakouts, regroups. We were not moving the puck efficiently. We were beating it up. And to me, that's a sign of fatigue. We didn't look like we had a lot of energy. I could tell from our bench, we had a lot of guys that were fighting the puck, looked like we were low on energy, and it's understandable. It is what it is. We knew that was going to be a tough one coming into it. I think that's our third back-to-back in 11 days, fifth game in 7 days. Lots of travel, road games. But we found a way to – we got great goaltending from start to finish, gave us a chance. We found a way to play with the lead. Even when it was ugly, we got some timely goals. We got a good big power play goal early to get on the board. PK was excellent again tonight. And we had a talk after the second period. And just said, we got to just come together. We got to find a way to get it done. It's ugly, so we got to simplify it and not try to do all the things that we normally do when we're full of energy and we're executing at a high pace. We weren't doing that tonight. They were making it difficult on us. They defend really well. And you just got to, stay together in a pack and take care of the puck better than we did in the first two periods. And we did that. I liked our third period. It was simple. Every puck we touched in the D zone, in the third period, we managed to get it out at least into the neutral zone. We were advancing the puck through the neutral zone better and putting it in behind their D and getting a little forecheck going. In the first two periods, we weren't doing that. They had us on a three-quarter ice game for the bulk of the first two periods, and we were just kind of hanging on. So to finish the game the way we did, with the stretch that we've been on, and we'll take the 2 points. It is what it is.
All right, so there's Jared Bednar. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Phrase I hate, but in this case, saying that, look, they had to adapt, improvise, overcome. Mm-hmm. Tired legs. Team that's been traveling a ton, as Jared Bednar mentioned. Another road game against, and Connor McGehee said this on Wednesday. The last couple of years, Anaheim and the Kings have not been very good.
No.
And so going to California has not been that big of a deal. Those two teams are playing really well right now. And for Colorado to go there and get a victory, and get victories on the road, and one of them being a shutout, it's pretty darn impressive. You look at the Pacific right now, the Kings and the Ducks, 2 and 3, behind the Golden Knights right now in the Pacific Division. And so you beat two of the better teams in the Pacific, in the Western Conference, in what you accomplished on this road swing. And for the Avalanche, like I mentioned, top scoring team in the league, to go out and win a kind of gritty, tough games where they had to kind of fight through some fatigue, adversity, to win it with going against what they normally do, And Darcy Kuemper talked about that. That, look, we normally hold on to the puck longer. We weren't doing that last night.
They gave up a lot of shots last night.
And it put some pressure on them. And they're able to still come away with a 4-1 win and then a 2-0 win against Anaheim the night before. So give the Avs credit for going out, showing some grit, and getting it done, and going 5-0 and during this current stretch. So you also have the Nuggets. They're in action tonight, taking on Memphis, a matchup of the number 3 team in the Western Conference right now. Grizzlies playing some really good basketball. Ja Morant has been phenomenal. The Nuggets are 6 in the Western Conference right now. Nikola Jokic, you know, talked about the 49-point performance, 11 of those coming in overtime. Found Aaron Gordon for the with the pass for the game-winning 3, and
which was a phenomenal pass.
Yeah, and just you know, got a fire lit under him in that game the other night for Nikola Jokic. And so tonight they take on a Memphis Grizzlies team that's and by the way, the Nuggets have signed DeMarcus Cousins to a 10-day contract.
Let's go.
See, now you're excited.
Let's go.
Buckeye is not.
Look, it's 10 days. Yes, it is a maybe not peak Boogie Cousins, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. So Boogie Cousins, now part of the Nuggets on the 10-day deal. But Nuggets and Grizzlies tonight. Ja Morant, you know, it looks like he's going to make his, he's going to be in his first All-Star game. He's averaging 24 points per game. He's been sensational. He's one of the best players in the league. So for the Nuggets, you know, they take on a Memphis team that ranks number 1 in point paints. And Morant's a big part of that because of his athleticism, able to get to the rim. 52.7 paint points for the Grizzlies. So that will be a challenge for the Nuggets tonight in regard to their interior defense against Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. So Nuggets on the floor tonight, 23-20 record, taking on the Grizzlies, who are sensational right now, 31-16. So that'll be a Ball Arena tonight for that one. But we will have Maverick basketball tonight when they take on the School of Mines. Once again, pregame at 5:15. All right, 7:40, and Palisade Wrestling Coach Tanner Ridgway coming up in just a moment. It's time for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Elton Yon?
NBA on TNT crew last night, Charles Barkley, good old Chuck, full-fledged rant about how unsecure the TNT personal lockers are.
It is. Listen, America, we got the dumbest people in the history of television working here at Turner. We all got lockers. We all got lockers.
Give the secret out.
And the damn code is our birthday. I was like, what the hell?
Every time we need.
Like. We got individuals' lockers, and
Chuck
they got these
0226.
They got the best of locks.
Chuck's combination 0226.
Like, every time me and Chuck need something, we like. Yeah. Oh, what's Greg Anthony's birthday again? Hey, every time one of us need a tie or a tie or something, like, hey, what's Matt Wiley's birthday? What's Brendan Haywood's birthday? Like, what kind of damn security is that?
Hey, go to Wikipedia. Okay. Oh yeah, get him.
So if you ever find yourselves in the locker room at Turner Sports and want to get something from Charles Barkley's locker,
Just look up his birthday.
Look up his birthday and type in the code.
And there you go.
And I mean, part of me gets it because, like, human beings, we're just inherently bad at remembering passwords, which is why a lot of us get, you know, that's why hackers hack, because they guess our passwords and they often get them right. So part of me gets it that we're, you know, we're naturally more inclined to, all right, if it's something rememberable, something I can.
Oh, my PIN is 1234.
Right? What's your password? Password. Yes, what's your password? Exactly.
Going to flunk cybersecurity.
Yeah.
If you take that class, if you do that, that's
not good.
That's good. Did you see the SNL bit with the guys with the TNT crew?
Oh, I had seen the thumbnail. I hadn't watched the video, but I.
And they had the one actor on there that was Yao Ming. which is hilarious.
Oh, Bowen Yang.
Yeah.
He's good. I like him. But yeah,
I just saw him eat a pumpkin. I was hungry. Remember the what seeing Yao with the Rockets play the Nuggets?
Mm-hmm.
What time went to that game? The guy was gigantic. And they had like the big head patting Shaq on the head. That was pretty funny.
I love when Shaq was at his Hall of Fame speech talking about when he met Yao Ming and like didn't know he spoke English, and so for the longest time like didn't say anything, and Yao said something like, "Hey, good job, Shaq." And Shaq was like, "I didn't know you spoke English." It was funny.
That's pretty good. It was a pretty funny bit, actually. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Tanner Ridgeway, Palisade wrestling coach, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Stay by the radio.
You are listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. Talking Palisade Bulldog sports on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us this morning, he's the head coach of the Palisade Bulldogs wrestling team, former two-sport athlete at Mesa State, football and wrestling. Tanner Ridgeway joins us. Tanner, I appreciate the time. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Always great to talk with you. Last night, your wrestlers were on the mats against Delta. Unfortunately, you had some forfeits that made it a challenge last night to be able to score some points against the Delta Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. We're down probably 4 or 5 varsity guys right now. We were able to fill some of those with some JV guys, but yeah, had 4 open slots and hard to win duels, giving away that many forfeits.
Yeah, it's tough right now because we're seeing, because of COVID, matches being postponed. We saw Grand Junction Central, Tanner, get postponed the other night. I know Fruit of Montrose got postponed as well, and at least I guess the silver lining here for you is that at least you're not getting duels postponed, but it's tough when you got some kids on the sidelines because of this.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the good thing is we're still getting those matches, not necessarily for those varsity kids, but those JV, next up kids, they need to be getting their matches too, because you never know, come the regional tournament, we might have a kid get sick or come down with an injury or whatnot. So, just getting matches right now is a good thing.
Tanner Ridgeway, coach of the Palisade wrestling team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. I know a young man that you have a lot of high hopes for is Judah Guajardo, who finished third at state at 120 pounds in his sophomore season. And obviously he's been, ever since he was doing Little Dogs Wrestling, he's been putting himself in a position to go over and try to win a state title and trying to make that happen here in 2022.
Yeah, yep. Judah's a kid right now that, he battled a knee injury earlier in the season, got that taken care of, and was really wrestling well, did well up there at the TOC in Bernal, and then he came down with some sickness, so he's battling that, but should be back next week and get a few more matches in before we get to that regional tournament, and he's off to the races at that point.
Tanner Ridgeway, Bulldogs wrestling coach, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Where do you feel like the Judah Tanner's really focused in on in terms of his technique and where you've seen improvement? I mean, it's obviously been more of a challenge this year because of some of the injuries he's had to deal with, but where have you seen some of that hard work in the off season and on the mats where that's really kind of started to pay off for him?
I think after the break, what we were seeing out of him, with our central duel and our tournament up in Vernal, was he was moving a lot more. He was a lot more active on his feet, a lot more physical, just kind of moving and getting after it. And I think that, if he can do that again, next week and carry that out, he'll be in really good shape.
Tanner Ridgeway, Palisade wrestling coach, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Talk to me about some of the other guys that you have. I mean, Judah gets a lot of the attention because of his success previously over at the state tournament, Tanner, but maybe a couple of guys that you feel like have really started to kind of hit their stride this season for your wrestling team.
Yeah, sure. top guys that kind of pop out into my head is Keaton Young, Junior. He's wrestling 138 for us right now. Extremely hard worker, great kid, very coachable. I think we'll see big things out of him. Really enjoys the sport. Tyrus Despain, same thing, very coachable, hard worker. You know, he's probably a 500 in his record right now, but those losses are against extremely tough kids. I know he's ranked right now, but he is a kid that we will see for sure at the state tournament, I think, this year. And probably the last one is Dawson Davis. He's doing a great job. He's really got maybe two or three moves that are his bread and butter, but when he hits those, doesn't matter what kind of a wrestler you are, he can get those on you, you're in trouble. Hard worker, great kid, really excels in the classroom as well. But those three kids, I think, you know, barring no sickness, no injury, those kids are going to do some good things this year.
Yeah, keep our fingers crossed for those guys to stay healthy. And you mentioned Tyrus Despain, Keaton Young. They both won by decision and pin last night in that duel against the Delta Panthers. Palisade Wrestling Coach Tanner Ridgeway with us. And I want to talk to you. I mentioned that you were at Mesa State back in the day. You played at Paonia High School. Outstanding football player, wrestler, and you were offered the chance to play both football and wrestle at Mesa State back in the day. Chuck Pfeiffer and Joe Romano, who of course is teaching out there at Palisade on the sidelines. Yep. For the Bulldogs football team once again. But talk about the impact that those two guys had on you now that you're a coach, because we're talking about Joe Romano, one of the greatest coaches in, you know, in high school football coaching on this side of the hill and in the state. Chuck Pfeiffer, outstanding, you know, high school collegiate wrestler, college wrestling coach. Talk to me about the impact those two had on you and your coaching style.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Both of those guys are great coaches, great people, and I totally model how I coach off of both of their styles. You know, I constantly reach out to both of those guys and run things by them because they've seen it, they've done it, you know, and they always have good input for me. But yeah, I try to bring, you know, some of Chuck's better qualities into the room, and I try to bring some of Joe's best qualities into the room. And I think eventually, once we can get the program up and going and really started, I think that stuff will really shine through and we'll have a very successful program, just like, you know, those guys do.
Yeah. One final thing. I mentioned you competed collegially in football and wrestling. That just doesn't happen anymore at any level, Tanner. Division I in particular, but Division II, it just doesn't happen. And you're kind of a unicorn back in the day, being able to compete in both those sports.
Yeah. It was extremely hard. I only did one for 1 year, but, so I was only doing both for 1 year, but that 1 year it was extremely tough. It was a lot of work, just staying on top of both football and wrestling and two different, you know, conditioning stuff, you know, so I'm jumping from one sport to the next and got to get into a different shape and everything. But yeah, it was a blast. I wouldn't change it for anything. The only thing I would change is I would continue to do both of them for longer, you know.
Sure. No doubt. And I remember you doing that, and what a remarkable situation it was. You were able to do both, even if it was just for the one season. Tanner, I appreciate you coming on today. Best of luck to you and the Bulldogs going forward as we head toward, of course, regionals and the state wrestling tournament. Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. Tanner Ridgeway, the head wrestling coach of the Palisade Bulldogs wrestling team. I remember when he got offered by both Joe and Chuck, and you're going, man, that's going to be so tough,
right,
to do both of those things. And for one season, he was able to make it all work out.
He was it.
Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two. Of the quarterbacks playing this weekend to win a Super Bowl, which one would you want to hitch your wagon to? 970-242-5300. 1340. The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.